This is the Leverage Network. I'm Justin Hordle, joined by the triple OG, Whittemu Mason. OG, round seven is now behind us, so we will get to reviewing it. But how was your weekend, brother? Let's review that.
Family time, man. Just chilled out. Didn't do anything. Had a few things on the last couple of weekends. So it's like, fuck, sometimes when you get an opportunity to sit back, relax. But our SG ball, little fellas. So we went and watched so the prelim against the Roosters. Roosters undefeated, coached by the great Jake Friend. So I'm in their sheds before. Obviously, I'm not, Steve Turner's a coach, but, I'm with the pathway. So I can go into their sheds and said hello to Friendy before the game. I said, hey, because they're undefeated, right?
I said, oh. I remember, did you play them first game?
Yeah, and they pumped us, scored five tries unanswered. Anyway, so our boys, they've been in the lab. They've been working hard.
Nice.
We got them. Nice. Great game. It was a great game. Just to see those, being in that position, getting to a grand final in an SG ball, which is, which is the old jersey flag. Just those guys, they're building a brotherhood.
Oh, that's cool.
They're in a grand final. You had me, myself, Ogre, Raza, Rosa Tussi, Zap Turner, Josh Jackson all around there. And so, and you see, Orbo's over there and Jake Friend and all the sort of blokes that we played against each other. It was great to see. And, it was just good to see. I would have been happy for Friendy if he got in. But I was, obviously way more happy for our boys.
How stacked are the coaching staff now these days?
If there's a salary cap on the coaching staff, geez. It was really good. The boys, they won pretty convincingly.
Yeah.
They end up coming back real late, a little bit of complacency at the end. They scored two tries. It was like 28-22. I was just like, holy shit. They scored one more than they had a crack. They had one more last crack at us. One of the wingers, Jeffro, made a play, intercept. Done. I was like, I just took it to the house.
Yeah.
Play it out, play the clock out. And I was just like, yes, I was so happy for the boys. Just watching them, just that fucking joy. The joy put on their face. And they had a photo and I'm like, they're like, get in. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's your time, boys.
Yeah,
just
nice.
Fucking just sit there.
Did you get in for the boys?
I dragged every all staff out.
Okay.
I said, let those players have their moment.
Yeah, you should have done one with the boys.
Yeah, we did both. It's always just one with the players, right? It's their journey. So it's good for them just to remember that.
I remember my first ever, because I didn't make any rep teams until I was 18. Yeah. And the 18s and 20s is some of the best times I had.
It's some of the funnest times I've had, from 98, 99, 97, 98, 99, coming through the system there. We jagged a couple of premierships, 99, 2000, stuff like that. And it was so, I understand, I get it, It was so much fun. And I said, boys, just, savor these moments, man. The journey.
You won at every level. Literally won at every level.
Yeah, it was fun. We just come through that really like a golden era of the Bulldogs, whether it can be flag, reserve grade, and first grade, we end up winning. So
it makes sense, though. If you're successful in your team, a lot of you just come through together and develop together.
That's the plan, right? Yeah. Got about five or six of those kids, and I'm looking at them going, all right, a couple of years back in flag. They're still just turned 17, right?
Yep.
17, 18. And so I've got two more years down here, and then hopefully go up.
I was watching the presser with Cam Serrato, and I was happy for him after the game. Yeah. And he said the New South Wales Cup went really good as well. Everyone against won, the Knights. Awesome.
Everyone's
good signs for the club. And we'll get to that when we review all the games. I want to thank everyone who has been subscribing, everyone who has been following us on Instagram, TikTok, on Apple and Spotify, leaving reviews. So let's get straight into it, mate. I'm going to recap my round seven. I had a good week, mate.
Yes.
I am in the plus for this week. So I kicked it off, a very strong start. Storm -1.5 in Ali Katoa. And we'll get to that try too, by the way, whether you think it was a try or not.
Mate. But if you backed it, it's a try.
It's in the bank account, it's a try. Warriors -6.5. Fanua Blake, you said it's a tough place to play, Mace.
Yeah.
It was indeed for the Warriors. And we'll get to that obviously as well. Eels -8.5. Awful against the Dolphins. But Dylan Brown got me a late try at $4.
I got Dill Brown right at the end.
Tigers +14.5. Just missed out on that, but I got Junior Tupou, $3.10. He scored first for the Tigers in their only try. Manly -9.5. That looked like that was home after the first 10 minutes, but complacency set in, and that's a real problem for this team. Tolu Kolo, however, took a pick to the house for $2.75 for me. The Raiders +8.5, and Matty Timokol were no good. Dominant display from the Broncos. Bulldogs +1.5. Love that bet. I was really confident in both the Sunday games because I got the Sharks -3.5 as well, but my try scorers were no good there. Matty Burton and Teague Wilton didn't come in. So the outlay for the season has been $1,120. So for those that don't know, I put $10 on every one of these bets. and the kitty is currently at $1,028. So I'm now just minus 92 on the profit. So some really good anytime try scorers for this week for round seven. So as always, we want everyone to be playing safe during the footy season. So please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And for free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858. Mace, got a YouTube reply, and there was a lot of people messaging us about the clip that we posted last week.
Yeah, Joey.
Really good feedback on Joey Manu and your take on the
route.
The route to be potentially becoming the best rugby union player he can be.
Yeah.
And potentially an All Black. They let us know that Beauden Barrett is also there.
I thought Beauden Barrett signed with an Irish team. Or was that another Barrett?
Or maybe that's Geordie Barrett.
I think it's Geordie Barrett.
Let us know in the comments. I know Geordie Barrett is currently at the Hurricanes. If Beauden Barrett is...
I know one of the Barretts signed with the Irish Munster or something like that.
I signed with Cameron. It could be...
but as I said,
maybe he's there this year, but he's not there next year when Joey arrives.
As I said, it's 12 games there. They could play all around the world.
What do you got for a slick? For Beauden Barrett? Okay, nice. Can you look for Jordan Barrett as well? Or maybe Mace has got the Barrett.
One of the Barretts signed with one of the Irish teams. Because they're born in Scotty. Ireland.
Are they?
Yeah, they said they got their roots there. They were there. They grew up there until they were about 4 or 5.
Oh, crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw one of them on the New Zealand thing, on the All Blacks thing.
All right, mate, let's get to the YouTube questions. These are doozy. I had these questions ready to go from last week for preview. We didn't have enough time, but it's. I'm going to hit this question and then we'll preview the Sharks and Cowboys because it's still fresh in my mind. This one's from Woofy Thurible. Hey, lads, love your work. Do you guys have any idea why 35-year-old Jake Granville continually gets picked for the Cowboys as a bench prop? It's embarrassing as a Cows fan having Jake taking up a bench spot, making 3 meters hit-ups when we have Tom McKayley tearing it up in reserves. Surely our forwards could do with some help. The next one is, question time, boys. Do you think geographical location can have an impact on certain teams? Case in point. I live in Townsville and I'm a Cow supporter and feel like the boys are out of sight, out of mind up here. Can work both ways as they also don't have to deal with the BS of media, which is very true, may also make them complacent as not as much outside pressure. Big love from the North. You boys are crushing it. Always welcome at the Mad Cow. We know that.
Yeah, I got that. We know. Big Red's got our back.
Some really good points there, mate. I want to start on Jakey Granville in particular. He just played his, I think it was rough 250 the other day. He's definitely a legend in the club and has done some really big things for the club. But I understand the point and the frustration with that take in particular because I feel like, obviously he provides some really good leg speed and ruck speed, but at the moment – the middles aren't getting the job done to start the game. I think Griffin Neame is basically he's their
best forward.
He's their best forward and he's their prop that's playing big minutes and he could do with some help. And Thomas McKayley looked really good. And I know it's only trials, but from Wolfie here, he's saying that he's going well in Queensland Cup as well.
I understand this, right? So this Granville does all the little things around the ruck. McKayley's a big body and they've got big bodies, right? So you've got Griffin Neame, 6'5", Taumalolo, very big body, 120 kilos. McLean, 6'5". Got all these guys. Now, I don't care about their back row, but their middles are big, right? They don't move laterally that well. So when he comes off the bench, they try and speed the ruck up. You know what I mean? So they're trying to get him as a ball player. He's not a ball player. He's not a middle, right? He's a hooker. He's an out-and-out hooker. So I'm with him. But, like, I get your point. But McKayley has a lot of deficiencies in his defense. He might be carving up Queensland Cup. There's a fucking levels to this shit. I say it all the time. That's Q Cup and then you got NRL.
Yep.
It's a massive big difference. Until he can prove himself week in, week out, play 60, 70 minutes in the middle, get all those all these little numbers, the analytics, like the efficiency.
Yeah,
in Queensland Cup, 90% efficient tackler, busting 180 metres a game, playing really big minutes. Then they'll probably look at him, right? He probably needs about 10 games in Q Cup to get fit.
Yeah, because he just returned from the Super League.
It's a different level. And he wasn't the sort of player when he was at the Tigers and stuff like that to break out big minutes, 10 or 15 minutes come off, right? Because right now it's a game of attrition.
It is.
So if you don't have those players that can get out there for more than 25 minutes, which Jake Granville can, not who cares what he does with the ball, because when he's out there, Reuben Cotter's usually taking the ball most of the time. He's just tidying up the ruck in defense.
Yeah.
You know, like just say if Robson's out of the play, he might go to hooker for a little bit. They're trying to swap it like that, but he's not your traditional middle because he's a hooker. Yeah. I know what Todd Todd Payton's trying to do.
Yeah.
Trying to play small ball a little bit because they've got so many big guys. If you get another McKaylee out there, it's another big body out there, mate.
I'll throw a stat at you. The Cowboys is what I heard in coverage as well. The Cowboys are leaking the most points through the middle.
Yeah.
So do you
think – tell you what, Thomas McKaylee doesn't fix that.
Well, I'll say I think it can
No help. Disrespect, but he doesn't fix that problem.
Well, so they need to make some changes. I feel like they need some different answers. So I understand your point with Granville. He played 22 minutes last night, and he adds that ruck speed through the middle.
Sorry, still not saying he's a middle. He's a hooker.
Yeah, he's a hooker.
He's a hooker, out and out hooker. He's one of the best. But you got Robson there, who's the New South Wales representative.
So they've got Jordan McLean, Jason Tomalolo that start. Jason's only played 32 minutes again last night. Mm. That's a real problem. I think he's averaging 25 points. Yeah. So there's a problem as well at the moment. With Jake Granville coming on, he's playing 22 minutes. And they've got Sam McIntyre, who's
he's all right.
He's okay. He would be undersized or he doesn't have that power. So I think they could do with McKaylee. Me personally, I think they could use with another big body coming off the bench.
Because if he's doing the things that I just said before.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but he needs to be ticking all those boxes. Otherwise, Todd would be using him because he does all those things that you want him to do. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's mobile. So something is wrong. He's not doing something right.
Sometimes this is my problem as well with other coaches, and this is what I was mentioning with Brad and Robbo a couple of weeks ago, and I got blown up about it because I was comparing them to his coaches. My thing sometimes is with coaches that have been around for a while now, or specifically when it's like club legends in this case, like Jace, who's going through it, like Jake Granville, who's going through it right now. They would them and probably Kyle Fell, the only remaining players from the 2015 grand final. Those are tough decisions, but sometimes, man, these are the toughest ones you've got to make, and sometimes you need some new blood and you need to try some new things. And this is where I think it's not easy. When I say this, I'm not saying this like, oh yeah, it's an easy fix, just go get rid of some of the guys that have like I said, going to go down as one of the greatest Cowboys or greatest Roosters or greatest Eels of all time. But I think sometimes this is the Achilles heel for coaches when they struggle to make a decision on a senior player. And for me right now, there's some tough questions and conversations that need to be had with – I think the easy one for me right now is Jake Granville. Sit Jake Granville. Let's see what Thomas McKaylee's got because we know his deficiencies.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Maybe he could work on it. Maybe he's working on it. Maybe just give him a crack.
Yeah, let's see if he's improved his game.
Because I'm not saying that he's not a first grader. I'm just saying there's a reason why it's round seven and he's still in reserve grade. Mm. There must be something. Otherwise, if he's murdering reserve grade, he should be fucking knocking the door down.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's just because they got off to such a good start. You know, they were reasonably good start.
Yep.
They weren't doing anything that was that bad to warrant dropping a Granville or even like the young kid McIntyre or anything like that. Well, maybe this week he gets a call up.
Yep.
Because he might be doing all the things that we want him to do. I might, you know, like, but usually coaches are sort of looking at that going, you know, he's sort of doing this. He might let us down. But, hey, maybe play the other guys a bit longer. Maybe play Taumalolo. I'm pretty sure Taumalolo can get to 30 minutes if you want him to. I just love Taumalolo. I fucking hate it.
I know
it
you
just
do.
Sucks.
It's the same. Like I bring this stuff up.
But I'm pushing Taumalolo before Granville.
Yes, of course.
You know, like I'm pushing him a little bit. Give me 10 more minutes so I can get McKaylee on for the last 15.
Well, I think here's my point on that. Let's obviously sit Granville. Granville, play him 18th man because he'd be perfect. If something did happen where you lost a number of players, to have a guy like Jake Granville who's very versatile, and let's give Jason Tomalolo a good solid stint, bring Griffin Neame and McKaylee on. So they don't lose as much punch. I feel like as soon as Jace and Jordan McLean go off and Griffin Neame comes on.
I'd start Neame in front of McLean.
I would start Neame as well.
Yeah. He's their best middle.
Yeah, I agree.
He's their best middle. I think McLean could do a job off the bench or anything like that, but he's not destroying teams at the start.
No, he's not.
You know, Taumalolo's probably doing more than him in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I need McLean to be that dog, like, straight away. He needs to be helped. He needs to be, like, taking the lead. Like, he needs to go, okay, well, I'm the man here. Taumalolo's obviously on a little bit of a decline. Minutes are limited, all that sort of shit. I swear if Todd goes, Neame, you're starting. fucking be that dog. Yep. Get into it.
What about the second part of the question? Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. I played up there. It was great. Yep. But that was in that point of time in my career where I just wanted to get the fuck out of Sydney.
Yeah.
So it was
Did you feel like for me?
You weren't nowhere near anything.
You had a rough season too that year, right?
Yeah, did you feel the pressure?
No one cared? You had big names
you
too.
You did care.
Yeah, of course you cared.
You did, but it's just like you just weren't feeling the pressure like if you were playing for the Bulldogs or Roosters or Para or fucking South.
Yeah, got ya.
Anything like that. Because the Townsville Bulletin's the only paper in the town.
Mm.
They've got to have a good relationship with the Cowboys.
Gotcha.
You might get the Courier. The Courier Mail is obviously the whole of Queensland, but no one really gives a shit about that. All Townsville people read is the Bulletin.
Okay.
So they've got a good relationship. You don't get bad publicity, right?
Okay.
You'll get it from the Courier. They'll be getting it from the Courier Mail, but they fucking hardly ever read it, especially the locals. They don't give a shit.
Shout out to the Courier Copy Trace.
Yeah. But no one reads the Courier in Townsville. No one gives a shit. They all read the Townsville Bulletin. That's about it.
And they all watch Levels Network. So
yeah, they love Levels. And they love the Mad Cow. That's the only three people think they like. But, I think when there is outside pressure, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make you play better. When you can feel, there's a thing called social media. You're feeling pressure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they know they're not playing well at the moment. Yeah, you just look at your phone.
Mm.
Yeah, you're going to cop. You'll feel it, right? You know, it's not about the papers or anything. Hardly anybody gets their news from papers apart from just the older sort of generation. Everyone else, you want to look at your phone and see how bad you're going. You'll fucking know it. You'll know about it.
But would you feel like in this day and age you still feel like you're getting your flow? You know, it's a perfect example.
You still
example.
Feel a little bit.
You know, he's killing it this year and been very impressive and we're about to get to it soon.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, man. So impressive. But hardly anyone talks about the Dolphins. We're about to.
Yeah. They don't because they just haven't got those big names. They're not a big team yet. You know, the only big thing they got is Wayne Bennett. He's their coach.
He is. He's their marquee signing.
He's the marquee signing.
And he didn't even coach on the weekend.
Wolfie was just in there. He was sick. He had a cough.
Got the black lung pop.
But I understand what he's coming from, where he's coming from. But if this was the 90s, it would be a little bit more of a case to answer. But because it's 2024 and you have the phones and you have a lot of external fucking pressure, you'll feel it, man.
Okay.
And that club, 2010, they hadn't won a comp yet when I was up there. 2015, they won a comp. 2017, they're on a grand final. They expect to win. They're not little brother anymore. Though they are now. They still are now. But it looks like
step brother. The stepbrother.
It's the stepbrother. They've won. They beat Brisbane and they've got they're not copping as much pressure, but they still expect to win.
Broncos are trying to.
They're so fucking loved up there. They are so loved.
I think they're a very likable club.
And they're a very likable club and they do great things in the community. They go from Mackay all the way to fucking like everywhere. Like we're traveling from Cairns to Mackay, like everywhere up in North Queensland. You know how big fucking North Queensland is? Yeah. It's massive.
Yeah.
It's closer to go from Sydney to Brisbane than Brisbane to Townsville. That's how big it is.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you know what I mean? So I was saying, you got a school visit. Mm. Where is it? Mackay. 4.5 hour fucking drive on your day off. So they do so much for their community. They're very beloved. They've got great people. Like they had Mango and JT and all these great guys. They've never had a fuckwit play for them.
Yeah, think about that. They've got very likable players.
Very likable.
I think a lot of people like – no one's going to hate on Tommy Heaton. No one's going to hate on Reuben Cotter.
No
one's going to hate on Jeremiah and I. No one's going to hate on Scotty Drinkwater would annoy people.
New South Wales.
And obviously Chaddy's got a bit of, once they do the social media stuff, those guys. But apart from that,
it's a very likable team, mate.
I like both of them.
Exactly.
Too, by the way.
I like the whole club and it's very hard. It's hard. People don't bag the Cowboys. They're just a great club and great people and well-run organisation.
Yep. They've been very well run for the
Lancini's
last.
Lancini's up
10,
there. He's one of the. He's just a proper dude. They're great people.
All right, mate. We mentioned the Dolphins before, so let's give us your BSC dog of the week. I'll read you out the stats.
Give me some stats.
I'll give you the stats. So 7 runs for 76 meters, 13 post contact, but one line break assist, one try assist, and a whopping 33 tackles.
Jeremy Marshall King, zero misses. Oh, I love that kid, man. He's such a mate. Going up there, it would have been hard for him, right? He was with the Dogs for like 5 or 6 years. He just got Player of the Year at the Bulldogs. He was just like outstanding for us, and he was in a position where we weren't going that good. Wayne Bennett's ringing, you're going, we're going to start a new franchise.
Yep.
Get up here, And he's done it. And he's that game on the weekend, man. Like, that was – it's awful. I'm not sure if you played in Darwin.
No.
It's the worst place to ever play, right? And that game was – it was like this, right?
Yeah,
it was. Were they down 10-0? About something like that? 8-0?
10-0.
Two tries down.
When Gutho kicked that goal, they were down by six with about 30
something
to
like
go.
That, you know? And then Marshall King started running. It was the line break assist. It was just like straight through the ruck, sped the ruck up. Everything that he did was just gold.
Mm.
I just saw that one player turned a whole game. Like, they just went straight through the front door. Reg, Paulo, the middles just couldn't maintain it, and they end up just getting destroyed. They scored 8 unanswered tries. 8.
Para fans, we'll get to that. This is our
8 unanswered tries, and all through the front door, most of them. You know what I mean? Marshall King just darting out and just coming left, right, this, that, coming through the other side. It was Nikarima. Like, it was ridiculous. They didn't even have the hammer.
Nah.
And whoever that fullback was,
Trifuller.
A fucking gun.
Trifuller.
Oh, my goodness.
Back to Jeremy Marshall King. I know Parra take the home games up there, but
Do it anymore.
He got given the key to the city.
Oh, he's got it. Mitchell Street. He's got the key to Mitchell Street.
I wrote this down because I wanted to talk about him.
Magnificent.
He was definitely up there for me. So I've gone to the review of the games. I've written this down. He's an elite 9 in the game right now, and I put them in tiers.
Yeah,
I want to see if you agree with me. Tier 1 is Harry Grant and Appy Carousel.
Yep.
And tier 2 is Jeremy Marshall King, Wade Egan. Cheese is now in tier 2.
Yes, easy.
And Reece Robson. Yep. And I've probably got them in that order. Those are probably my favourite 9s. If I was to start a team and, you know, you got the pick of the litter, I'd probably go Grant, Carousel, Jeremy Marshall King, Egan, and then Cheese or Robson, depending on your flavour.
I agree. Totally agree. That's it. Like, he's up there. Like, he changed that whole game. Defence, 33 tackles, 0 misses. Like, that was a game where you've got Junior Paulo, Reg coming off the back fence. Don't get it twisted. That first 20 minutes was aggressive. How do you not miss Paulo once?
The forward pack for Parramatta was stacked. No Josie Flegler, no Felice Kafusi, no Herbie Farnworth to get the carry started, not to get him on the front foot, no Hammer. What they're doing at the Dolphins right now is unbelievable, and they got some dogs, man.
Oh, they are. They built something, I reckon. And you know, and when we talk about the Dolphins in 20 years, it'll all because of that first 2 years, what they set, never giving up, and just like next man up mentality, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? They're never going to jag a fucking grand final in the next couple of years, but maybe like year 5, year 6. Start jagging a few players up there.
I'm so intrigued to see how they go next year with him full time. You know how like Wayne's got this track record. I hope they don't fall off the cliff.
No, they won't, because he's just set. Like, Wolfie's a great guy as well. Like, he'll be watching and learning.
Everyone says that about all the coaches that have followed Wayne.
Yeah, but he will know it's his last tenure, and he'll leave it. He'll leave a good coach in. Not like all the rest of the coaches.
Ooh, do you think it's Wayne's last tenure?
I think so. Yeah, it might be.
You think he's done?
And he'll give everything into Wolfie. And he won't try and, you know, like everywhere else he's left, you wouldn't even know the fucking coaches are.
Well, we know who the one for South is.
Well, then look what he left with him.
All right, let's get to my dog of the week. Mine's a little bit different this week, mate. My BSC dog of the week, Chevy Stewart from the Canberra Raiders.
I copped that. I can see why.
Yeah.
That's
He got that dog in him, mate.
Bro, that Hetherington fucking near murdered him. Why would you run at him?
So here's my thing with Chevy Stewart. He copped an absolute barrage physically and psychologically in the first half, but I was so proud of him. I don't even know him like that, Mace. Sticky said after the game, he said to him at halftime, he goes, I want to find out if you're a first grader or not, the way you come out. Not only does he cop that in the first half, they kick to him. He misses one, I think, early in the second half, and it ends up being a dropout. I'm like, that's it. That's got to break him. He's got to be done. But he kept on coming, and those are dog mentalities. Fuck the stats, fuck the errors. But I've got two pieces, or maybe three pieces of advice for him. One, Chevy, we know how tough you are already. That's enough, all right? Two.
Preservation, is that it?
Yeah.
Of the body?
We'll just take it, you've proved how tough you are in 2 games.
Okay.
Two, start watching some video. So watch some video, and what that will do is you'll be able – well, there's only 2 things really, but like in this, with watching video, you'll be able to identify who not to run at. Kobe Hetherington is not that guy. He is a dog. Like his strength is defense. There's probably like a handful of guys in the competition. If I was still playing,
proper hitters.
Yeah. You know what Kobe Hetherington goes to? You know how like there's some players, if you're a winger, you dream about scoring the try like Xavier Coates in the corner. If you're a goal kicker, you dream about kicking a try from the sideline. Kobe Hetherington goes to bed every night before a game hoping, I hope someone gets to run at me straight.
I hope
like
a fullback lines me up when I come off and he's a rookie.
Because I'm going to lick the fuck out of him.
He's gone.
Oh, it was so good. But Chevy, we know you're tough. If you want to watch some videos, from some vintage, some guys that have been there and done it before, and do it smartly. So there's a guy called Darius Boyd that played with Mace. He played fullback for the Dragons, the Knights, and the Broncos. Mm. Multiple premiership winner, played a shitload of games. Just a winner.
Yeah.
He used to do it as well, mate, but he didn't run at Kobe Hetherington's. Pick out your halves, pick out your hookers. Next time you play Dolphins, maybe run at Jake Granville and not Jason Tomalolo. You know, that's the little difference with it. Like Darbs was really good. I remember
most fullbacks are good at that. They won't run straight at those big
Darbs
boys.
Darbs specifically, I remember having to play Darbs. Yeah. It used to really frustrate us because it was ever going to be me.
He'd look, assess, and go boom.
Straight at chairs.
If
I was playing at Parramatta, it was straight at Morty. So he'd be off the back fence. Bang, straight into him. Might not necessarily skittle him. The crowd goes crazy. So you still get your, I'm off the back fence and I'm steaming into the line and everyone thinks you know, that's the carries you're looking for. But you just got to be smart with it. And if you look at some of the toughest fullbacks in our game, Teddy, Dylan Edwards, Ryan Pappenhausen, they're all smaller stature fullbacks.
Reece Walsh.
But they don't have to – Walsh's a bit different. Walsh will just beat you with speed and that. But those guys in particular –
If he runs straight, he'll still get in between gaps.
Yeah, and those three guys in particular are smaller guys or not as big as some of the, you know, turbos of the world, but they position themselves.
Yeah.
Scream back. Dylan Edwards sprints for the first 15 minutes, a little stop, start, stutter, get into the line, get yourself a quick play of the ball, but –
Sorry, before you say the dog of the week, one thing that starts is momentum, right? You get cracked like that next bloke's getting cracked.
Mm.
So just think of the ripple effect of you getting pumped, you're on your back, and then that next line is going to belt your next mate. So be smart. Love what you fucking doing, young kid. Love it.
Yeah.
Just be smart.
Do you love even more where he was done? Like he was proper done.
Yeah. It wasn't even about that run. It's about the whole fucking accumulation of like his mentality.
Yeah, it's a dog mentality.
I fucking love it. Proper dog.
Yeah. My favorite part is he still played the ball after it. And you've seen Jordan Rickey and Kobe Hetherington and that. They're just licking their lips. He's gone. How good is that? It was so good to watch.
They should have helped him, huh? Come on.
Key stuff. Nah, you leave him down.
Good on you, kid.
You got to learn the hard way, brother. Whew. All right, Mace. A couple of big stories this week. And this one's been around for a minute. The Seagulls are reportedly set to terminate the contract of Josh Schuster. So they're working on a payout plan. Okay. Manly and his management.
Mario Tartak.
Yeah, so it has been reported that he will still get $200,000 across the next three seasons. He's been paid out all of his or about 60-70% of his money this year. And so they'll be on the cap, Manly will be, for $200,000, but they removed $600,000 of that. There seems to be reports around he's taken like a mental health break at the moment as well. So it's a very tricky situation at the moment with Josh Schuster. And I feel like there's definitely parts of this that we're not everyone is fully aware of.
No, I think it's a good thing that they've come to an agreement.
Yeah, I think so.
For him, for his management, for his family, fresh start, go find another club. As we've talked about this before, suitable club for you, wants the best for you, can get the best out of you. Take your time with your pick. Need a little mental break from the game. You've copped a little bit here and there. Like these young kids are a bit different, mate. You know, like don't take too fucking long off. If you're away, make sure you train and come back to that club and you're fit and you look like you're ready to roll.
Yep.
So good luck to you, but do all the right things by yourself, by your family. Still be doing your fitness. Take that mental break. You know, don't be with the club and in the bubble. That's the break. That's the break you're having.
That's important.
Still be fucking get after it, mate. Get after it. If you need fucking help, speed work, go see fucking Roger Fabry. I'll fucking be down there. I'll fucking help you. I'll do whatever you want if you want to get back. But just reach out to some people, have some good fucking people surrounding you, and get back into fucking where you belong, mate. When you know when the greats come out like the Andrew Johns and that, saying that fucking, you know, you get right, you can play for Australia. When you hear those things, kid, bro, they mean it. They don't say shit like that for nothing. You got a lot of talent. You have a lot of talent. We just don't like seeing talent go to waste.
Yep, I agree.
That's it. So just find a club, Mario. Find him a good club that fucking suits him. Good coach, wants to see Mr. Schuster do his fucking best work, right?
I reckon, obviously, you're having a break, getting away from the dealing with this situation, then go away, train your ass off, set up a meeting in about 2 or 3 months, maybe in the off-season with a few clubs, hit the ground running straight away in the off-season, because he's had niggling injuries as well, which has affected him.
Little calf injuries, bro. We've all had them.
But that comes back down to weight and all that sort of stuff when that's associated with it.
When he's fully fit, you know when he's fully fit, he looks fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you see when he's not. He wears baggy jerseys and shit, right?
Well, they look baggy. The Blacktown workers. Baggy, the Blacktown workers.
But, just find the right club. Do not rush into it. It's not about money for you, right? Yeah, it's about finding the right club. Even if you sign a 2-year deal or something like that, you'd be fucking 25.
I think it'll be a 1-year deal now. Or prove
even
it.
That. Yeah. Max 2-year deal. Find the right club. Be happy. We want to see you back on the field.
The other big story, and this is basically coming from the sheds, Jack Hetherington and Reid Marnie will face sanctions over a fight in the tunnel during the Bulldogs win over the Knights.
I can't stop laughing. Sorry. Yeah.
It was weird.
I know Jackie boy, and I was watching that game. I said, I bet he's waiting in the fucking side. Because that's what something that Jack would do, but sort of mucking around. I said, because I could see it in his eyes. And I've known Jack
around
for a couple of years, mate. I know he wasn't mucking around because it was a little sinister look. And then soon as he was waiting to feel it out, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if Reedy had a comeback with that energy, he's copping a two-piece.
So
I swear. Let's break it down. He's mucking around. He would have been up there. He goes, he's still, because he just can't settle down, right? I've been training with him. He's fucking hilarious. Yeah. But he's got that. He should have been playing the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
He just fucking walked off. He still haven't had enough. He got sent for nothing. Some little fucking cheeky hooker grabbing you. He's like that. He just wants to fucking smack the shit out of you. He just would have went up there and they knew because there was people around him. And then Reid Marnie come off and then, Reedy's good on the lip. Good on the lip. He come in
different.
There.
It's different if you're one-on-one with the smoke.
Yeah, one-on-one. So you see Reid, and then he's waiting. Then he sort of like, he's shaped up, sort of threw one at him. He was waiting to see what Reedy would have done.
Yeah.
Because he was smiling, but it wasn't a fucking smile.
Nah, it was
like that.
Yeah, come on.
You throw one back, you're fucking getting it.
Yeah.
So Reedy's not dumb either. Reedy just went, what are you doing, mate?
At what point, because we only see this sort of the last couple of seconds, Reedy's obviously got his head down. How early do you reckon he looked up and seen Jack Hetherington, and then what's gone through Reedy's mind?
I reckon it would have been about, so he's gone down, walking through the, because I reckon Jack would have been.
That tunnel goes forever too.
Yeah. Jack would have been around to the right a little bit.
Yeah.
And he goes, he probably went, where's this little fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure if he had intentions of a fight, because he's not that silly, because he knows cameras are around. But I'm just thinking he just went, you know what? I'm going to scare the shit out of this little fucker. I reckon he's just gone, I'm going to scare him because
that's
a good point. It's different when you got this energy instead of fucking players surrounding you and your lip. Yeah. What are you going to do when it's just here?
Yeah. Do you reckon he called Reedy's bluff?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to stay here, shape up to him and let's go.
What are you going
to
do? You're going to do exactly what I thought you'd do.
Yeah.
Just fucking bow down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Reedy's not dumb.
Yeah, Reedy looked confused and he was like,
Jack, I'll punch a piss out of him.
Yeah, it's not fair. It's not a fair fight
because Jack can fight for one.
Look how much 3 pounds added to Ryan Garcia to Haney's. Yeah, how many pounds is Jack Hetherington?
Jackie Boy's about that shit, mate. And I reckon he's gone, you know, I'll just want to scare him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw a punch, but I'll faint at him and see what he does just to scare him. And
he had a good bounce about him too.
I can fuck you up.
Yeah. Just let him know.
And because Reedy, you see Reedy's going, what are you doing? Like Reedy would never put his hands up.
Nah.
Reedy's not a fighter. No,
that'd be silly if he did.
Yeah. And I think, don't make a big deal out of this. NRL, please.
They will.
Just fine. It's a fining. It's fine. Don't do it again.
I reckon it'll
be a game.
Don't
be smarter.
I reckon it'll be a game.
No. Don't give him a game.
As much as I think it's entertaining, it's hilarious.
But he was laughing.
Yeah, no. Hey. We all know.
Hey. He's laughing.
Anyone who's got that dog in him knows that.
He was like that, and then as soon as he went like that, and he was waiting for it to go around. But see his face went. Went from this guy.
Yes.
Just
after the jab.
Just wait. He's straight in. He was like, oh, yeah, you want to smile? You want to smile, you little fucking. Yeah. White was come locked. On. I was like, oh,
yeah, you're right. It
was very sinister.
He was chewing down a joint. He was
a fucking psycho. And I know fucking Jackie is about that.
Yeah.
Don't fine. Just give him a fine. Say, oi, that's silly. Don't do it again because he's going to come back. It was only joking. Look at me. I'm fucking laughing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully, you know, Reedy's going, he was just taking the piss. We know each other. A little.
You know,
bullshit, but, you know, whatever.
You know who I can just picture doing that? Your man. And during your time. Who'd be doing that waiting for – like, because you know back in the day you could throw it and just get all that energy out?
Fucking Luke O'Donnell would do that.
The Donski. It gave me mad Donski vibes.
Donski, yeah.
Because he would get so frustrated in this day and age.
Sent off, he needs to be sent off.
Yeah.
And wait for that other bloke to fucking – be right like 10 minutes after.
You know, there was the face that Hetherington had reminded me of the Donski trying to bash the fuck out of Dave Taylor.
The Queensland jersey.
Yeah, he was trying to rip Dave. He was trying to get into the Coltrane and he's going, come on.
I spoke to the Donski yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, it was weird. We just love laughing because he lives in Maroubra Junction. Right?
Yeah, I know. I see him around.
And
yeah.
We catch up for a coffee on Wednesday. We just laugh, man, because we come through the same system.
Yeah.
98, we come through the same system all the way. We played together, went on kangaroo tour. So we got a lot of-
It would shit him now to play in this day and age.
We just laugh.
Yeah.
We're like, could we survive in today? I think I could survive.
He'd be Jack Hetherington.
Yeah.
He'd get sent off all the time and, like, people would get under his skin and he wouldn't be able to, like, punch the fuck out of him.
But it's different when – just say if you come through the system right now and you know you can't fight.
That's Jack Hetherington. He knows he can't fight, like, and
when did Jack debut?
Probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I'd say with Penrith, 18 or 19.
Yeah, okay. So he was in the whole era.
The no punch.
No fighting.
The no punch rule.
2014.
Yeah, okay, Paul Gallen fucking. Yeah, so he's come through and he just needs to, you know what? If he's going to get suspended for staying in the tunnel, you might as well just fucking crack him out in the field. Mm. At least it's done.
You only get 10 minutes.
I think you'd get suspended.
No. You get 10 minutes and they look at it, see how bad it is.
Well, we got 10 anyway, so you might as well
throw
it.
That's what I'm saying. You might as well. I'm not saying anything to anyone out there, but.
Just get it out there on the field.
If someone fucking can touch you, bang. Straight away, you get 10 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
Depends where you are on the field, what position it is. What if you're up by 30?
All right, mate, let's get to the games, reviewing the games for round 7. Kicking it off Thursday night, the Storm defeated the Roosters 18-12. The Storm edge out the Roosters in a real defensive battle. All five tries come from kicks, mate. So the defense is pretty good from both teams. I found now that teams defend the block shape so well, especially with the three-man in the obstruction rule, that it's all really like – I felt like in this game, especially in big games, early, like now, because everyone's scared about that back rower, the front rower, or even the center. And I've seen some variations on the weekend of a couple of plays that we'll get to in the next couple of games where they're changing it up. But, yeah, everyone's sort of scared to run that obstruction and get that penalty, so they're just going early, getting to the end of sets, knock a kick up.
It's happening off – this is where it's happening, I've been finding. When it's from a right post and it's just a shift and it's only the one block you're going to go through.
Mm.
You see when Penrith run, they run three blocks.
Yeah.
So when you run the first one, it's an easy one to get through, right? The second – then you're moving the line. The line's coming up and it's going like that, so you can actually – see where you are running because the line's moving. The second one, they can go bang, inside shoulder, run through the line. The last one, the line's going up. The gaps are bigger. So you run the perfect line. You can't do it when it's just one shift and a block.
Okay.
You know, it's because guys like Keary and the three men are so tucked in to the four man, he's just trying
to get the back row on
and it's only that
shoulder.
One lead. It's one lead that you got to fuck around with.
Mm.
So you're just trying to position yourself. So if he does run near you, you just make sure he runs into you.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like when you're running, they call it trips, right? Block for block for block, the gaps get bigger, the line comes up, it moves, the gaps get bigger and bigger so you can actually pick where you want to run.
Yep.
If you're a decoy, you know what I mean? You can't just go from the right side and try and run these little blocks on short sides because they fucking read them easy.
Yeah, they do.
For one, and the three man will just get in your way. So it's like, fuck, what do you do there? You just give early ball to the fucking – to the centre and try and do your best.
Yeah, you're right. And teams are doing that now. I think the variation that I've seen in the Dragons game now, so instead of running the shape on the three man, they're running a dummy cross block shape with the fullback out the back on the center.
Yep.
And what they're doing is Moses Solis scored a try like this, and then who else scored a try? And the Dragons.
When Ben Hunt played that? When Ben Hunt scored that, it just went dummy, under dummy and then dropped, little short ball.
Dummy the back row underneath.
Yep.
Hit Moses Solis, but Moses Solis runs an outline.
Yeah.
Because then he gets on the out. He got on the outside of the center. Dallin White and Ezelezniak sort of wedges and always tries to play the fullback on that shape. So there's no instruction.
And the lead runner is running like he is a lead, but the halfback's coming over. And then if it's too far, come under.
Just drop it.
But he just drops under. So that fucking three man's still square.
Yeah.
And then you're squaring him up. And then Sully's on the fucking outside. So people are trying to do that now because they're trying to get away from these little fucking blocks. So depends on where that three man is. I was watching it so close. I'm like, okay, well, this is what the evolution of the fucking decoy runner is.
Variation.
You know, it's a variation now, especially in that position. It's like, boom, he'll just still run that line. And if he does, if the three man comes in, he's going to hit him, and if he keeps going out, he comes under, he dummies, and then he throws it to the Sully running an out ball.
Mm.
It's fucking hard to stop.
Yeah.
And then you see, just say we'll go back a couple of weeks when Turbo ran through and that guy got caught in the line.
Yep.
That was from the sideline. It wasn't a block for block. It was fucking bang, bang, straight to the fucking middle of the field to move all these middles. So the middle of the field was so wide, that fucking guy, 15, couldn't get near him.
Moretti?
Yeah, Moretti couldn't get near him because it was bang, bang. The balls were so quick. Next minute, it was a dummy there and someone was going out.
Yeah.
And then it was back in again.
It was the dummy drop.
Yeah. And then because the dummy drop was fucking, was Jakey. And Jakey just saw a fucking, you know,
he just labored through.
Yeah. If he goes straight through and then the other guy's going out and then it's fucking Turbo going bang.
You know what you see? I'm just thinking about what you said about Penrith and it's a great point. So I think now with Penrith, like, it's almost like premeditated. If you are going to run a block, sometimes I feel like they run a block and they're not they know they're a block and they're not a genuine option. So they run. You see some players now are running through and instead of looking at the ball, they're just running to look at Umaze and then step off their left so they get through the hole so you don't – like they're never getting the ball.
Nah.
So Isaiah Yeo, it's just like shape, 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 and they just run that line but get through the line.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. It's hard. And what comes into it is fatigue. Fatigue comes into it. Not understanding plays. Some players off the bench, you know, they just think they're going to play dumb. They'll just stick in the middle. It's none of that anymore, mate.
Mm.
You got to know your job. Be present.
No one knows their job better than the Storm at the moment. Jerome Hughes again. I wrote down some things about Jerome Hughes. He is almost, again, we always go back to Nath. And if you could build a halfback with that size, that physicality, that game IQ, then it's close to Nath. But like having Jerome Hughes' running ability being an ex-5'8 fullback, like Munster with footy IQ, it's just why Melbourne Storm are always in games. And, you know, when we look at some other guys that are really good game managers and not as physically gifted like Fogarty, like Adam Reynolds, like Chad Townsend, these sorts of players that we speak so highly of, Even Sean Johnson, like Sean, he's still got that ability, right? But he's leaning more towards the game management style of play now these days. But if you got that in your bag, like Jerome Hughes, it's Nath number one.
Jerome Hughes.
Jerome would only 28? Be about 28, man.
Yeah, he's in his prime, man.
Yeah,
he's been around for a minute, and he just knows the game so easy now. Him and Munster are the kings.
It's going
to
be
Munster didn't have to have a crack. He didn't play four runs.
He's trying to get back to fitness,
yeah, of course,
in my opinion.
Yeah, but like, he knows, like, with that, what do you call it? With that, the groin thing?
Oh, what are they?
I forget what it's called. It's very popular in AFL, right? Yeah. So it's week in, week out shit with him. It just depends how he's going to feel.
Yeah. It's a very tough injury to manage.
Yeah, it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
More often than not, it never really gets better until preseason, then you completely rest it.
I don't know. What do you think of the Roosters?
I just want to, before we get to the Roosters, I'm just seeing it. I reckon there'll be a change in the next couple of years where, you know, we get more mobile quarterbacks coming through the drafts and they'll stop looking at halves as in you can't only be a game manager now. You have to be Jerome Hughes. You have to be Daly Cherry Evans. You have to be Mitch Moses.
They were that, man.
So you'd be looking at faster, younger players who can develop. Even look at Lachie Galvin. Mm. He's still a little bit lanky and undeveloped at the moment, but you can see he's willing to take the line on. Then you just build the footy IQ and the game reps of how to manage a team around him.
Yep.
The Roosters are a tough one, mate. The spine, again, looked lost. I could feel the pressure for Teddy after the performance that Manu had last week. I think I think he feels that energy. I think he feels that pressure. And I reckon this is – we've been talking about it now where obviously he was – the Roosters were so dominant for so long and he's always that guy and he's never really he's had a question.
Best player in their dominance as well, wasn't he?
Well, he's Australian captain, New South Wales captain.
But during that, you know, premiership.
The most important player.
The best player.
The dude, yep.
He was golden boot. You know what I mean? Like he was killing him.
And now I think there are question marks. This is just more so to do with the fans and the members and in the outsider looking in.
Yeah, maybe.
When Joey Manu has these games like this and people start, you know, media. There's certain parts of the media that start going, "Ooh, would they be better suited?"
They're just totally with Joe Munner at fullback.
Right? I'm not.
Because I look. I know. I looked at Teddy and I'm like, he's looking as sharp as hell. He's still looking as sharp as hell. We're just not seeing all the line breaks, and you got to understand. So just say in his prime, when you're looking at that left edge, you had Keary, you had Boyd Cordner, you had Latrell, you had Tupou, you had Teddy around the back.
Yeah.
You fucking talking about one of the best left edges of all time. Then you go to that right edge, you got Joey Manu, you had Crichton, you had all these other back rowers. Like he had a lot of plays, mate. They've been missing a lot of plays lately. They haven't like, you know, Cheese hasn't really solidified his position as like how, you know, like how to play with him. Do you know what I mean? Mm. They don't know what a fucking 7 and 6 is. You know, like they're still fucking around with that. It's like Connor Watson's not a 6.
Yeah, but whose fault is – that's not Connor Watson's fault.
No, I don't know. This is coaching.
Yeah.
This is why coaches pick – it's why coaches are on the big bucks and this is why they're coaches, man. Like Robbo needs to get this shit right because he has the fucking players there to win a comp.
Yeah.
This ain't a team where it's like, we've lost this, we've lost Teddy, we've lost Joey, we've lost Suoli'i. Nah, you can have that next year. You can have that problem next year.
Yeah.
Not this year. You got Terrell May. You got Hargraves. You got Lindsay Collins going at it. You got Nat Butcher. You've got Crichton. You've got Victor Radley playing his ass off. Get it right in the halves.
All right. Here's a question for you. Storm now have gone 9 from 10 against the Roosters. So you were right, mate. Sorry.
I told you, man.
Yeah. So I got confused. I thought you got it mixed up with Penrith.
Because they only played not long ago, the Roosters and
Penrith. Yeah.
And I was just like, that was their 9th game in a row or some shit they won.
So 9 in a row from the Panthers and 9 from 10 wins to the Storm against the Roosters. Yeah. So
that's why you threw me off.
Yeah.
I was going to go the Roosters anyway.
Yeah. So what about this now? Like that record's not good enough.
It's not, mate. Not when you're a top 4 team.
Not with the roster.
When you're supposed to be a top 4 team in that roster.
And you know what? We were critical of Jason Demetrio, and I think a lot of people agreed with us. Like dropping Lachie Ilias was never going to be the problem, or that wasn't the problem with South Sydney. Yeah, he needed to play better, but it was never going to fix anything. Like if you drop a player like that, and now like Robbo with Sam Walker, like that wasn't going to be the solution with Connor Watson playing 6.
Is Sam Walker dropped?
I'd say so. Like,
or is it that protocol where he's out for 2 weeks?
No, he
hasn't the category 1.
He missed a week before that.
Yeah.
So he missed last week. So it was
up to him to play him or not.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, he doesn't want him in the team then.
That's obviously my point. Yeah. So you said whatever the combinations, you need to get them sorted quick, smart.
They need to make a decision on who is running this side. Because they are 7. Keary's a 7 at the moment, in my eyes. And Sam Walker's a 7.
Mm.
You make a decision on Keary and
then Walker. Who plays 6?
Fucking Connor Watson can play 6. I'm saying, like, he can if you're looking at that sort of hybrid who can just run,
yeah,
and then you've got Keary just controlling everything and Watson can just get better. I'm pretty sure they've got some young kids in there as well.
So that lineup is the best lineup, and they're not and that I lineup. Don't
think it's a, yeah, well, I'm thinking
they can't beat the Storm and the Panthers, so they're wasting their time for the season, basically. Unless you're a Roosters coach, unless you're Nick Politis, you're happy with
you give the keys to Sam Walker.
Happy to make the 8 and then
you give the keys to Sam Walker? That's hard. This is the decision that they need to come to because Sam Walker is wasting his time. He's not in his peak yet, but he needs to be getting taught all the fucking things to be a great half. He's got Cooper Cronk there. I'm not sure whether he's
Cooper's
helping
done
him
now.
That much.
Cooper's done. Yeah, Cooper's
like he needs
Justin Holbrook's in
so Titsy's a fucking good he's a good halves coach.
Yep.
He needs to be learning all those things, mate. Because he's the future of the club if you want him, because he could be the future of a lot of other clubs.
I've got 2 options for you. And it's either find out what Sam Walker's got running and make a tough decision on Kiri. And then I don't necessarily think Kiri or Sam Walker are the problem. But the hard part is figuring out a six. I don't think Connor Watson's – I love Connor as a 14, but he's not the option at six as well. Figure out which one of those two is going to play seven. You're right, that could be an option. Another easy one for now – and I've been saying this for a couple of weeks, Jared just doesn't have the same punch through the middle as he used to have. Start Terrell May. Terrell May only played another 30 minutes off the bench.
Did he play any 30?
He played 30 minutes again, bro.
But he's been playing 60.
Yeah, exactly. That's sweet. The problem. When you start him off the bench.
Yeah, but like, well, who got all the main minutes then? Okay. Because Hargreaves only played fucking 30 himself.
So Lindsay Collins obviously playing
Lindsay
big
Collins
minutes.
Has been playing good. He did some fucking really great things.
Jared played 41. Terrell played 30. Egan Butcher played 26. Nafua White played more minutes. Nafua White's been going all right. But if you want to send a statement to the team and just like, all right, we've got to change into the guard in some sort of seniority in this team.
You know, when I said like last time, like come off the back fence and shit, he was doing that.
Yeah, he does it, mate.
But he did it, but he was one foot, one step, digging in the ground, bang, shoulders up, everything, couple of offloads. He looked nice. Mm. Wasn't stepping too much. I was just like, okay, now he's playing fucking the minutes that he's been playing usually. Like he's been playing 60 minutes usually, maybe more.
The hard thing is if you start him off the bench and then does fatigue, then you've only got the one stint because you're probably not going to be able to bring him on for that second stint. Whereas if you start him, tell Jared your role has changed. You're no longer the player. It's a tough conversation.
I don't think Hargreaves would be so disappointed in that conversation.
I don't think he would too. No, he wouldn't, I think he's a club first player.
He's been that dude for 15 fucking years. He's a team player.
Yeah.
If they have that conversation with him, go, all right, if I was at that age, Mace, come off the bench or we need to start this. Sweet.
Yeah.
No worries.
But here's the problem. For me, he's not part of their best four rotation. So once he does go to the bench, Spencer Lenu comes back. I'd start Terrell May, Lindsay Collins, and I'd have Nafua White and Egan Butcher and Spencer all over Jared at this point of his career. Yeah, and then that's a tougher conversation. That's way tougher. But then the other one, or this is the other one you've got to float with, I think you've got to find out if Sam Walker is the guy long term.
How do you do that if you're part of the Roosters?
Then it's either Kiri or Walker.
But do you sit one out? Because why does Kiri – 4 years ago, Kiri's 5'8 for a show.
Mm.
He's a 5'8".
Depending on the makeup of the team.
Then get it
he had
right.
Cooper Cronk, so get he could play. Right. Yeah.
Like, get Sam Walker to like not play like Cooper Cronk. Don't play like Cooper Cronk. Cooper Cronk's very structured. He does all that sort of shit. There's only one Cooper Cronk. You know what I mean? Let Sam Walker fucking play football and let Kiri do Kiri things, mate. Like he's one of the best halves in the game still.
Yeah.
But they need to work that shit out.
So the problem is individually they're okay. It's they don't combine.
Yeah, I know. Make them combine. Just fucking get
it's
it.
Not
to go.
Wor- then it's
have
not
they
working.
Played enough games, you reckon, to think about it, right?
Yeah. Like two or three seasons now.
Well, last year, I'm not counting last year because Sam Walker was in reserve grade most of the year. And then Kiri the year before done his ACL. They haven't really had time to gel.
They could be
give him a fucking chance now.
They could be in a proper rebuild next year. They're losing Jared.
They are going to be in one.
Joseph Manu's going. No, Swalee's going.
Let's not even think about that.
Michael Jennings is their current starting center. Mm. We know Billy Smith's injured, but you can't count on him. Toops, don't know if he's extended, but I don't think they'd extend him. They're
playing in England.
They're at a crossroads right now.
They need to put Sam Walker at halfback, Kiri at 5'8".
Okay.
And fucking deal with it for 10 games.
All right.
Give him that.
We'll see. I think that will happen
Connor
this week.
Connor Watson's your 14.
All right, mate. One last thing I wanted to – this is the thing that's been bugging me now. We've been critical of referees in the past, and I think the standard of refereeing is very poor at the moment, and it's not necessarily completely their fault. I think the disruptor rule is one of the worst rules that's been brought in the last couple of years. Scrap it, get it out of the game. I keep going on about it. All you're doing is adding – more grey area to the referees in which they already have and the quality just isn't there across the board. But if I'm a referee, I'm watching the game on the weekend and you got your usual suspects at every game, but just specifically for this game, Storm versus Roosters, you got Munster, Jerome Hughes, Harry Grant just consistently – was it Ashley Klein on Thursday? God, whoever it may have been, just consistently at the ref. And on the Roosters side, it's Luke Keary, Teddy.
Just everyone.
Jared sometimes like it will reply, but he's probably not more of an antagonist. If you think about Parramatta, it's obviously Gutho, Moses. You know, you got all these guys. There's two or three from every team. the referees, to get some ascendancy back, have got to go, as soon as you come up and you're not the captain and you come in and you start chirping, first warning, mace.
I used to get that all the time.
Come back in again, you're sitting for 10.
That's the warnings I got all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, you're not fucking captain, get away.
Did it stop you though?
Yeah, it did. Oh, did it did, because you, like, just say guys like Bill Harrigan used to rule that shit with the iron fucking fist, mate.
Yeah.
You don't go near those blokes. Didn't even acknowledge you.
Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah.
You're not fucking yapping. Oh, he's offside. No, because you had respect for the refs.
Mm.
The respect for the refs is done.
Mm.
I mean, and I do respect them as, but I mean, like, you can't have three or four players going up.
Well, look at what happened to the Munster sin bin in particular, right? Instead of getting back and doing their job, because there's frustration now in the game from the players, from the coaches down
everywhere.
When Robbo goes after the coaches and the bunker after the game, it doesn't help the players, because then the players feel entitled to then go after the referees. If I'm early in the games, if anyone outside of Harry Grant or James Tedesco come up to me and start chirping and I'm a referee, hey, he's got one warning. Next time he comes up to me, he's done. Look, Munster gets binned because Jerome Hughes and Harry Grant are arguing the decision and even money, because what they want to do was slow down the game.
Yeah.
It ended up becoming a professional foul, but that was because – and Pappy's another one too, where they didn't get on with the game. So what they're doing is they're arguing so much, it distracts them. It distracts fucking the referees from doing their job properly.
Good point.
And it's leading to all sorts of chaos. So that's my.
I should just say shit when the. Because there was only one ref back then. So they were at the ruck. You'd say, oh, you're fucking. And then I'd turn around and be like,
I didn't say anything.
But you wouldn't be up there arguing with friends. As I say, like, you just wouldn't do it.
Were they mic'd up back then, but you just didn't hear
Not
it?
Much.
Not much.
Not at the start. And then because at the start, but by the end, they're like, hey, shut up. I'm like, okay, sorry, mate. Sorry, Badge.
The Badge is still doing good things. He's in and around the game. Casey Badger, she's another one. When it goes to the bunker, like, whoa, fuck, it's a tough watch sometimes. The Friday, 6 p.m., the Dragons defeat the Bulldogs. That's incorrect.
No, the Waz.
The Waz. Let me just.
The Waz, man. What happened?
Sorry about that, Bulldogs. You're just copping fucking
What happened? What is your take on this game? I picked the Dragons to beat the Warriors. I just thought it's going to be it's a hard road game for them. They're usually fucking really good at down in Wollongong.
Well, they were last year.
Yeah, they were last year, but they're usually traditionally pretty good. All the games that I've played down there, regardless of where we were in the comp, still a hard game, man. They come up, they turn up. And it was packed down there too.
Yep.
I didn't expect that.
Two teams were in the pretty much in the media throughout the week for different reasons. One's getting a signing, the other one's leaving. James Fisher-Harris has been announced. He's arriving to the Warriors. Everyone's pumped up. Everyone thinks the Waz are not only going to win the comp this year, but they're going to win it next year. And then Dragons are in it for the other reason, where Zach Lomax has announced that he's done at Parramatta. It was Zach Lomax who was the difference.
They just got out enthused, man. They did. And I said, like, the only reason why I was sort of backing St. George is because they've got a big physical team that is not going to really back down to anyone.
No.
Even though the Warriors are big and physical, I looked at that other side and went, they're fucking bigger and more physical. And they went after it, right? You stopped Fanua Blake. They went after Fanua Blake. You know, like, you just put pressure on SJ, you know, made him play early, all that kind of stuff. Like, it's just one of those games where they just didn't really want it. They didn't really go after it.
It was similar to the Manly game, mate. Yeah. So I was calling it for SEN. Warriors rolled them in the first carrot set. Yeah. They got all the way to the 70-meter mark, put up a kick, and then ended up scoring maybe 10 minutes later for SJ. It was like, you know, when Tommy Turbo scored, set up that try for Cola. It was so easy against the Dragons that they false sense of security. And then the Dragons just kept on ripping in. Jacob Little took that intercept in the middle of the field and then got a penalty, and then it was just snowball effect.
Suli was good. He played like a beast. I think Ravalawa, they were just making too many easy. I'm not even going to look at the stats. I think their back five was killing it.
Yep.
Zach Lomax catching balls like that. God damn, what a skill to have.
He is a weapon.
He makes that shit look so easy. I don't know how you train for that either. You just must have it. Like, you don't train for that. You just got to be so good under the ball. Both ways, chasing it or the ball coming at you. And I think they were just really super aggressive. I didn't look at him as a center and go, he's a way better center. I didn't look at that game.
I don't think his game really
It didn't change that much in my eyes.
How bittersweet must it be for the Dragons, right? So he's been for me, he's the top of the month. Like, he's right up there with Jerome Hughes, Paddy Carrigan, some of the best players of this month. And with all this noise that's been going on. So the Dragons fan are watching this going, fuck, this is mad. We might make the eight this year, but how are we losing this talent? For me, he is my starting – I've locked him in. He's my starting winger across from Brian Toto on the wing for New South Wales.
Be hard. He'd be up there. He'd be in the conversation. Mm. Just depends what sort of – yeah. I think he would suit.
I think even Flanagan said you could see reluctantly because Flanagan's going through – behind closed doors, this must be super frustrating for Flanagan, Dragons, Lomax, everyone. There's definitely a disconnect, but like they asked him after the game and he's like he would, and I agree with this, he's the sort of personality to go after an origin. And like, you know how like if Munster makes a mistake or you deja, Reece Walsh is the perfect example. He can throw an intercept pass where someone can return to the house and go straight back at him. I reckon Lomax is the sort of guy that would take origin on, not worry about if someone scored over him and try to score two over him.
Be interesting to see where they go. Madge's got a whole new, obviously, philosophy and everything, like a methodology on the coaching and like who he wants to pick and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get into origin in a couple of weeks, but he would not look out of place.
No, he wouldn't.
You know, he's going to be putting a lot of pressure on Fox because Fox had a great series last year. Brian Toto is easily going to get picked. Doesn't matter. So that other wing spot is up for grabs.
Yep. What about Ben Hunt, mate? He showed why he's an origin player. All the talk around the Warriors and Sean Johnson, but he outclassed him, dominated him on points. There's actually been chat and murmurs around him extending at the Dragons. Do you think he retires a Dragon? Now, do you think?
Well, I think there's just no chance of him getting out of his contract, right?
Well,
and he's got what, 2 years.
He's still got 2 years, yeah.
So he's going to be 36.
I think he retires a Dragon.
I think no, 100%.
He looks happy with Flanagan.
He looks happy. They might, I think Flanagan's his as he's saving grace.
Mm.
You know, and Flanagan's building something there. Like maybe in the next 2 years, they could jack something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
They need to recruit. They need some more players.
You know, they need that. They need a Zach Lomax sort of talent to get him over the hump.
Yeah.
Maybe this year. Who knows what can happen this year? Yeah. I don't think they can win. But like, imagine just having a bit of a run. Get in the eight. Have a bit of a run.
Eight would be a great season.
Get to a prelim.
They would have been spooned with the Tigers, Bulldogs, and even Raiders. All four of those teams would have been the favourites to spoon. Yeah. None of them are going
to be hard. They'll be hard to get. They'll be hard to beat in a finals.
Yeah, they'll be a pain in the ass.
Because they've got that team. It's like they're hard-nosed. There's a hard-nosed team there. Warriors, I think, is going to look at that game and just go, just fuck it. Throw it in the bin.
Okay.
Next game. Because they were way off where they should be. Their standards and everything that they've built is not that.
No.
I don't think they're looking at much video, but probably a couple of things here and there, how to defend a little bit better effort plays. That's all it was, effort plays.
Can you tell me about the mindset with the Warriors? Do you think that played a part in do you think anyone sort of got carried away and all the emotion of James Fisher-Harris? And
Maybe.
I tell you, you took it personally.
If you read into it,
Adam took it personally. 255 metres.
Did he make 255 metres?
108 post-contact, 23 tackles and zero misses.
And I didn't even – see, that's when he becomes one of the great props because he's just doing like that.
And you don't even notice it. Yeah.
You know, you think that he's had it. I thought in my – optically just looking going, I thought he was a little bit – wasn't as dominant. Then you throw those stats and I'm like, what the fuck? Where does he get those metres from? They're all off, mainly off the nine as well.
Yeah.
He just straight off.
Because no one kicks to him off the kickoff.
No, you don't kick to him.
No.
And he just gets stepping through, just post contacts, just making offloads. He's a premier prop, man. And that's the thing. That's what you want. Like all the pressure, him leaving, then Fisher-Harris coming. He's like, dude, I'm still that dude. Don't worry about that.
And I know you'll love this more than probably the 255 is the 23 but zero misses as well.
No misses.
Especially with all the misses that everyone else was making in that game.
That's great.
All right, mate. Moving on to the Dolphins.
Super sad day, huh?
No, Friday. It's Friday night game. The Dolphins do a number on the Eels, 44-16. I knew you would love this one. Lukey, nice stat for us. So I wrote down this after watching the game. It started off as a real advantage for the Eels playing up in Darwin. They take a game away. They had really good success. Now it's three in a row. They've been dusted. The Dolphins on Friday night, Broncos last year, and the Cowboys. Do you think because of those conditions in particular, PTSD starts to come,
It's just the conditions when you just got such big boys up there.
But now that it's happened 3 years in a row, specifically in that Dolphins game.
I want to know how long their contract was with Darwin.
Lukey just wrote it in the they got five? One more year.
They'll be like, thank fuck for that. Let's Done. Never go to Darwin again. It's stupid because they're going to be 0-4.
No holiday, no preseason. Nothing.
This is
no
not
trials.
A holiday. It's a miserable joint. It's so fucking hot. It's the worst place for rugby league of all time.
We keep playing Get Queensland out of there. Teams.
We keep playing Queensland teams. It's real smart.
Yeah.
You know, and then we keep getting pumped.
Mm.
Get us out of there. We are not built for that. It's not good.
No.
They started off all right. Credit to the Dolphins. They just come back and they smoked them.
So
fucking Plath, two tries.
So this is his
Tessie New. Carved the shit out of him.
This is respectfully to these players. And they'll know it too, because they're still finding their way in the NRL. And they might develop into some really good players. Yeah. But when I look across the field with the Parramatta team that they had, and I'm lining up, like, if you know how sometimes you run into each other in the sheds,
yeah,
and you might see the likes of Max Plath, Oren Keeley, Tri Fuller. These players look like they'd struggle in like Queensland and New South Wales Cup with their just size and their frames. Yeah. They don't look like they're fully developed NRL players. They carve the Eels.
Even Marshall King, he's not intimidating.
Yeah, you're right.
But he's slender, but also he's a gun.
But it's the same as like he's been around long enough where you look at him and go, well, there's Jeremy.
You know what you're going to get.
You know what you're going to get. Those players in particular, and even Tessie New has been super inconsistent. Man, this is a poor loss, but a really good win. Hey, Wayne Bennett cannot retire. You just said you think this could be his last year. He's too good of a coach, mate. Mm. The problem isn't
– write it out.
With these three guys in particular, it shows that there's not a lack of talent or players willing to go in a competition. There's a lack of good coaches.
Yeah, I reckon too. Yeah, I agree. Their front row, they were dominant. The back row was dominant. It was just like everywhere, like man on man. You think always weigh those things up. But look at Parramatta, go man on man. They should beat this team if everybody's on, you know. Like, but man on man, like you look at the Dolphins. You're like, yeah, you're looking at those guys going, they're toilers. Mm. They're all right. You know what I mean? Just a couple of old blokes out there in their fucking 17th year, the Bromwich boys, and everything like that. Should get over the top of these guys, right?
Roll these old boys and these Queensland Cup players.
We've got Gutho. We've got like, you know, Paulo, Reg, Cartwright, fucking
Madison,
Hopgood, Madison, Lane, Penasini. Fuck, Simonson, Russell. Look at that. Like you got a first grade team there that should beat that side. They didn't. They got pumped. It wasn't even close.
Pressure on BA?
I don't know. It's a difference. I mean, like, he's been under pressure for 10 years, every year.
You can't lose in that fashion against that team on prime time. That was the Channel 9 game.
Yeah, it was.
Second Friday night Channel 9 game. What do you got for us? He's popping up, Parramatta.
Wayne wasn't even there. No, he was sick.
Yeah, Wayne had the black lung. Yeah, we said that. Lung. Saluki said Wayne wasn't even there. But that doesn't really matter. All the preparation's done from coaches throughout the week. There might be some messages. Wayne probably would have called into what's his name? I keep forgetting his name.
Wolfie.
He would have called into Wolfie and said, this is the message. Hang in there, and we'll get some joy at the back end of the half. That would have been the message.
I know Wayne. Wayne's rap on Parramatta as well. Yeah. So like it would be very simple, and they stuck to it.
Yeah.
So
if there was to become a spot become available, I was listening to 360 a couple of weeks ago, and they said, would that be a club that Wayne would take Parramatta? You don't think so?
No.
It's not his sort of style.
No, I don't think so.
One change that BA needs to make. If you think about all the best finishers in the game, whether it's Xavier Coates, Dallin Watters, and Lesniak, wingers
get some X factor then.
Not necessarily that. They just got to be on the right side. So Sean Russell was a left hand carry. He gets
on
that
the right wing.
He gets no. He doesn't score that try early, which could have. It was before the Penasini try, so. Potentially they could have been up 14-0. His left-hand carry ends up going out. His foot ends up going out because he was
– fucking shit.
Get it in your right hand and put it down.
Well, learn that skill, right?
Wingers
do that. Like, I mean, like it doesn't matter if you're left or right arm carry dominant. Like when you get in that position, you're going to put in your outside arm, right?
Most
the wingers do.
That's what you should be doing.
Or you put him on the left wing.
All that.
Yeah.
Yep. But, Bailey Simonson.
I don't know. They just – just seemed to be missing something. When the bleeding was happening, no one was stopping it.
No belief.
When it started to bleed through the ruck, no one stopped it.
No.
And I'm like, that ain't a pack. That ain't Penrith.
Mm.
That ain't Melbourne. Mm. That ain't Brisbane.
Levels.
You know what I mean? That's the Dolphins. That's Bromwich. That's fucking who was the other prop?
I'll give you some tears. So you like this one. I'll give you some tears again on teams. So that doesn't happen to Melbourne, Penrith, and for me right now, the Broncos, clear cut, yeah, the three Broncos. Best teams. Mm. Then you've got teams with probably more talented teams, but consistency is dog shit. Cowboys, Roosters, even Manly. Like that game against Titans was super disappointing, which we'll get to as well. Mm. All teams that don't know how to play. Oh, you know what? I was wrong about the Sharks. Put Sharks in that top tier team because they're willing to roll this. They learned from last season and they're willing to roll their sleeves up this year as well. Mm. And then you've got in the tiers below, you've got teams on talent with paper who talent on paper who can score and willing to score but not play tough consistently. Para, Knights, Roosters, and Manly or whatever. And then you got teams that are under-talented but will always be in a dogfight. I don't know, the Raiders got blown out, but you got Raiders, Dolphins, even your Dogs, mate, at the moment. They're putting in a real fucking fight. So there's just different levels of teams at the moment.
Yeah,
I feel like we're 7 weeks in now, 7 or 8 weeks in now. We're starting
fair gauge, Joe.
We're starting to get a proper gauge on the teams. All right, mate, let's get to – and even this team has got a bit of fight about him. The Tigers lose to the Panthers the first game on Saturday afternoon. The score doesn't – for me, didn't represent the effort that the Tigers put in. They got blown out late with a couple of tries. A couple of crucial moments in the game. Snyder didn't get put in the bin after the captain's challenge from the bunker was awful. And also in the second half when they were hanging in there, Aiden Caesar scoops up a ball off a Jerome Luai knock-on and he gets called back and just they lost all their momentum. And it was just the last pass. This just wasn't sticking for the Tigers.
Nah. Like it was hard. It's hard to beat Penrith, like full stop. You need to like click on all cylinders and don't miss anything, right? And they miss a couple opportunities and like – and Penrith capitalised on all your mistakes, right? Everything that you do, they were just in the field position they're kicking. Even with Schneider there, they were still beating you on field position.
Yeah.
But they still had a crack, man. Like Stefano was still having a crack at him. Appy's just ridiculous. Like the stuff that he does, he creates. But they were good. This is what I expected. I didn't expect him to beat Penrith. I expected like a fight like that.
Yeah, we both did. Yeah,
like a good decent fight.
It blew out, but
if they'd have scored a couple of tries here and there, wouldn't have blown out as much. But the Tigers have got something to work with. Man.
It's credit to Penrith, right? Yeah. So Penrith, before the bye, they get beaten from Manly because every team's going to give them. You're right, 9 or 10 out of 10 effort. It's just whether the execution is going to be 9 out of 10, which the Tigers were missing. Last passes just dropping. They couldn't just, John Bateman was in everything, but he's so erratic that it's
hard to get a gauge on because he misses, like, just say when he gets the ball, he could bounce from the numbers line all the way back into the middle.
I think the Tigers have probably the two most unorthodox players at their positions in the competition. John Bateman as a back rower and Api Koroisau as a hooker.
Yeah.
Trying to be a teammate for them, even though they're super talented, trying to get the rhythm and understanding what they're going to do.
That shit off Appy, but it's going to be dangerous.
They've got Appy sorted now.
With Bateman, it's hard because he's not a ball player and he's just a tough bastard who just runs and he'll run to the spaces. Yeah. He doesn't care where it is.
Yeah.
He'll just run that way. He'll get a late offload.
He's looking for the lazy defender.
Yeah, he's always trying to – he'll go across, cross, cross, and then bang straighten up somehow, try and get an offload. So he's not your traditional back rower who holds his structure and outside in lines and all that kind of stuff. So he never does anything like that. So you just got to – you just got to go with him, I suppose. Mm. You know, like it's hard to coach that. And I want him to be that sort of dog. Just keep going and play football. I can't have him. I don't like some of the back rows are just so one-dimensional. Yeah. He's not one-dimensional.
No.
And he's tough as fuck too.
Yeah, fuck yeah, he is. And he's just got to learn to – it's going to be tough for Lachlan Galvin, right, too, because Galvin wants to be on ball. He's his back rower. He probably requires Bateman to make sure he runs that tough line every now and again.
Yeah.
But I can just see Galvin Bateman being that guy going, early ball.
Give me early ball.
I remember he used to play with George Williams at Wigan when we were playing over the Super League. And George Williams would take a couple of steps and just let it rip to him and then he'd do his best work. So that'll develop over time. I think there's a really good young core at the Tigers that's building. Jerome Bullock, Galvin, Steph, Polo. Hopefully all the reports throughout the week were that Panthers are interested in Stefano to fill that void. I hope he stays at the Tigers because I feel like they're building something. I also really like Samuel Afanu. He was causing some dramas at the back end of the half there. and Latu finally.
Latu, he's the dude.
He's coming off. He's going to be their 14. He could be their X factor for the next couple of years until they figure out what's going there.
Back rower. And who's the back rower?
Samwala.
I like him.
Yeah, he's the one.
I like him.
Yeah, he's – I was disappointed when he left Manly. I was disappointed when they both left Manly, but I can see them having good careers at the Tigers. Yeah. I just want to quickly go back to Penrith because I always feel like we always just quickly sweep over Panthers.
Well, what do you do, bro?
Well, it's
so fucking good.
They're so boring, and I say that respectfully.
It's like Melbourne.
They just grind it. Like Isaiah Yeo put on a clinic. Yeah. Like the way he controls the game through a middle, and the hard part for Yoey is it doesn't sort of origin footy, but club footy is so
the best.
Clean.
Origin footy, he'll play in the middle and he won't be ball playing.
He should be playing front row.
No, his second and third game are way better because you just got to take that ball playing out with Origin. And when he plays direct, and because he's so fit, so fast and strong, like most of the time he's always in position to get the ball. Quick ruck, he'll just jam it in behind A. He can step over, you know, have good support. Like he's still going to be involved in Origin because of the fact that he's a middle.
Yep.
Right? You just got to cut the fucking ball playing back a little bit. Ball play when you have to play, but hey, tuck it in. And he proved that in game 2 and 3. He can tuck it and just give you those 150 metres.
I think it was game 3 when they finally made the move.
Just do that, mate. Because I think your lock could be like a Cam Murray. It could be your left side back row. It could be, I'm not sure, you're talking Ola Kawatu. You got Liam Martin. You got some, Kaloma Tungies and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure.
Let's look at receipts, eh? Let's look at receipts. Oh, yeah, it's not as much as I thought. Felt like he touches the ball more than this. So we've got – obviously Mitch Kenny doesn't count. Dummy half always touch the ball more. So Jerome Luai touched it 51 times. Yeah. Schneider, 44. I thought that seemed like more than I anticipated. Solid. And only 31 for Yeo. I would have thought
– fucking lot.
But I would have thought Yeo had more touches than Luai and Schneider. Oh, that's how much it feels like he's on
no,
ball.
No. He's like – he's and he'll probably pass 10 times out of that.
Let me look.
You probably hit the ball up 20 times past 10? Something like that?
Oh, sorry, mate. I just lost it. I'll bring it back up. I'll go to it. So what did I say? He had 31
touches.
And he had 18 carries. So he's passing the ball 13 times.
So that's what I'm saying. He always gets in really good position to like just go. He can dummy and fucking dig in most of the time.
I want to look at the Manly game and see if it was much different. Let's get this up. Because it feels like he gets just as much touches as the halves do. So we've got Panthers here, go across to receipts. Sorry if you're listening to this and it's here we go. Where are we? So 26 in this game. No, okay.
No, he's not.
Fuck, it feels like he's on ball more than that. I don't know. It must just be me. Maybe because it stands out when you do see him compared to when it's halves, you just expect it. But yeah, I just expect Penrith to win. They're a class above still everyone else for me. Everyone's chasing the Panthers. Everyone's playing the best against the Panthers, and they just got some dogs. All right, mate, let's get to the Seagulls versus Titans. I said it before, 34-30.
Did you say that it was going to be a high-scoring game? No?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is always going to be high-scoring.
They got it done.
Yeah. It had 7 lead changes. Like I said before, the Manly remind me of they remind me of Parramatta. They remind me of Cowboys. They were really good against Penrith, but they haven't been able to do it consistently and win it. They've got to win this game in the fashion. I know Titans had a proper crack.
34-6.
But they should have been better. Yeah. Even 36-16, 34-16 or something
like
that.
Not 30 points.
No.
I was happy with Saab coming back.
Yep.
It was good.
Yep.
But Turbo.
Yeah,
He looked like he's back. That's the only bonus I'm taking out of that whole game. Turbo looked fucking amazing, and he was out the back of the. He was the shape that he was getting out the back. He was skinning. They should have scored 50. They should have scored 50 if they had it executed.
But then they're also lucky to get a couple. So the Saab forward pass right on halftime, that was crucial, man. And that was – Manly got some lucky calls this year, some really lucky calls. So you got to take – look, every team goes through it and you've got to take advantage of it because the Titans will feel hard done by.
I think the Sea Eagles would be just going, fucking who cares?
See, that's the problem though.
No, I know. Not saying like as blasé as that.
No, but
like,
I think they are.
We got the 2 points. Let's get on to the big dogs.
Yeah, but that's a problem because Penrith don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
Penrith beat the Tigers 22-6 in a dogfight.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking it's like just get up there and we just fucking get the game done.
My criticism is I want Manly to win the comp and I don't think they can win the comp playing in this fashion.
Not in this fashion. But it takes a bit, right? Yeah. It takes a bit to find you, you know, when because I'm still got my – I'm still out on the Sea Eagles.
Yeah.
I still think they're I'm only out on the top four. Okay. I want to put them in the top four. I'm just thinking.
So do I. Yeah, okay, I got
you. They're top eight in my book, and they, I want to hey, you guys can go at Penrith if you get them in a prelim. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you prove to me that you can do that?
They'll be up for the Panthers, but are they going to be up for the Tigers?
Like 60, like, yeah, exactly.
Are they going to be up for the Titans?
But that's the difference between the great teams, yes. Right? They're up all the time. That's the difference. We'll get to the Broncos. The Broncos are that team now.
Yes,
I fucking doubt about the Broncos.
So did I.
They are that team.
Yep.
Because there's no Haas, there's no Reynolds, and they don't give a shit.
Yep.
Next man up mentality, and they've built that over the last 5 years. Now I trust them.
Yep.
And I shouldn't have went against them.
Yep.
I just thought the Raiders had Broncos. Those dogs.
Yeah.
I've been because the Broncos come through that shit.
Yeah.
And now they've just built such a great culture up there for Kevy and all these guys, that next man up mentality. You wear that Broncos jersey, they've installed that fucking thing. I told you before, they've installed that greatness in that fucking Broncos jersey again. You should be proud to be a Bronco, all that kind of stuff. You don't leave Brisbane to go to another club.
Yeah.
That's what they've got back into Brisbane Broncos now. Go down to go out and do whatever they want and carry on like fucking
wrestle.
Absolute kings. Don't do that, no. That was Wendell and his crew.
Just before I want to get to
City Rolls days.
Some fucking good days. Just before we move off Manly, there's part of me just obviously for me, Turbo's my fullback for Origin. I'd play because I think there's
you're gonna do a Teddy, you're gonna fucking flick him.
No Teddy for me. No
harsh.
Teddy
you're
for
harsh.
Me. I am harsh.
You're harsh. Oh, no, I love it.
Turbo, but also selfishly and as a Manly fan and for even Turbo's benefit, there's a part of me that would just be like, I'd love Turbo not to play Origin as well.
Fuck off, you can't have both.
I know
what you're saying.
You know what I mean,
bro? That's your Manly. Yeah, Manly coming out.
And his health too, personally.
I know,
for Turbo,
I get it, but I think he's ready to dominate Origin at right side centre.
Fullback.
Fuck, what are you going to do with Katoni now, man?
Yeah, Katoni's thereabouts for the centres. Stephen Crichton's a lock for me. I'm having Stephen Crichton in my centres, 100%. Do you want to know my back five right now? Turbo fullback, Critter on the right, Latrell on the left, Zach Lomax right wing, Brian Toto left wing.
Why aren't you going like what Shammer said? Put Latrell on the bench?
What? Is that what he said?
He needs to be fucking sacked. He said, I'll put Latrell on the bench.
I thought my putting, because like based off of how the Souths are playing, I thought you were going to be surprised.
No, he said Latrell on the bench for New South Wales. What are you on? Come on, bro.
That ain't it.
That's just looking for clicks. Yeah. No one fucking clicked on it.
Fuck the Titans, man.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
I left on his message. I was the worst fucking take I've heard all year.
What was it on the channel?
I don't know, him and Danny Widler and all that were talking on that show, Big Sport. I don't know what the fuck it was, but I listened to it and went, the fuck is this?
Oh, I think it's the Channel 9 Sunday footy show.
Something like that. I was like, come on, man. Like, you got to be better than that.
I thought, so outside of Tommy Turbo, who was the standout, I agree, I had like Brian Kelly for points, I had Foz for points, Brimo looked good at fullback. Yeah. The Titans had more fight. Man.
Yeah. It's going to be a terrible year for them because they fucking haven't won a game, but it's just like.
Next up, they've got the Warriors and Cowboys. Warriors over in New Zealand, Cowboys back at home. Can they beat the Cowboys?
Oh, they could probably beat the Cowboys, but not the Warriors, not next week.
No.
They're going to get fucking pumped.
Yeah, I agree. You spoke about the Broncos, mate. 34, defeat the Raiders 10.
Oh, what a touch-up. Look at that boy, tough Carrigan. Look at him. Look at that, 19 for 201, 37 tackles, 0 misses. What are you talking about, son?
Do you like that? He's my if I'm starting a team from scratch, he's probably my number one forward at the moment in 2024.
Yeah, he is.
He's killing it. No Payne Haas, mate. He hasn't been doing it with Payne Haas.
No Payne Haas. I expected this when Payne Haas got it ruled out. Carrigan's is going to just take this team and go to another level. This is what I expect because he's a great player.
Yep.
He's up in that top echelon of first people picked in rep teams.
Yep.
Australian team get picked, Paddy Carrigan's lock.
Yep.
He's got Isaiah Yeo's number. He's got fucking Cam Murray's number already.
Yeah,
what he's doing up there. And they've got a lot of people missing in that forward pack, man.
No, Flegler's up at the Dolphins now and injured at the moment.
He's doing it, man.
His front row is Corey Jensen and Fletcher Baker. Yeah. So we always, you know, remember we used to say last year, it's all right. He's got Flegler and fucking Payne Haas to dump it off to. He ain't have that anymore.
He's so fit.
And he's still so fucking dominating. Yeah.
He's fit as fuck.
He's so fit,
he doesn't stop, man.
He's an animal.
So he gets great numbers. He's still a beautiful ball player, but he's got all the skills.
You know,
he's got all the skills, man. He hits hard, good with the ball. He can pass. He can step. He's like he's your dude, man.
You know the best part about it? When you're missing players like they are at the moment, sometimes players want to go into more of a ball-playing role and throw it around more. He's actually going opposite. He knows Reynolds is missing, so they don't have that game manager. He can't afford to make errors.
He stopped ball-playing when Kobe Heatherington dropped it off his fucking Colin Best. He's like, nah, I'm sticking it. I'm going to dummy. I'm going to dig in. So, yeah, he's killing it. Reece Walsh is killing it. Reece Walsh.
So I wrote, do you see my notes there?
I know.
Reece Walsh is the scariest player to defend in the comp right now, but he might also be the scariest player for the Broncos. Like, he still makes 3 to 4 errors a game. And last little bit, how hard must it be to be a player of that talent and have everything in the bag? And it's easy for us to say when he does make the errors, but like, how does he pull it back? How do you tell Reece Walsh to pull it back? Because then if you pull it back, maybe you don't have the moments.
Just have
like
respect for the ball. Yeah. Right? More respect for the ball. Be more aware when you have the ball. Just make the right decision. And that comes with age. This kid is 21.
Mm.
21. He's shown all this. Like, just say you compare him and Billy Slater at 21. I said this last year. Now he's got nothing like Billy. So nothing like Billy. Look where Billy went when he's 21. This is 2004 when Billy was 21.
He's in front of Billy for sure in trajectory. Yeah, that's obviously age.
I understand the skill set this kid has got. He's fast. He's quick. He's got Billy Slater pace. But he's got a higher skill set at this age.
The most that have played at that age.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's very scary, but he's going to – all the great fullbacks like that, when Billy Slater was first there, he was dropping the ball all the time, making a heap of mistakes. Go back to that. People just look at the end result, Billy Slater, fucking near immortal, Queensland coach, Queensland great. Look at the start of the careers, man.
Yep.
They drop a lot of balls because they're fucking trying everything. Mm. They're not scared. They just want to go at it. They want to go at it. Everything's at 100%. He left the probably just peel it back a little bit. That's hard to tell a kid. Like, I don't want him to do.
Yeah.
If I'm Kevin Walters, I'm like, just keep doing it. What you're doing, kid. Not even really saying fuck all to him. Limit the mistakes. Ah, fuck it. Let's just go.
Do you think it can beat Penrith though? Like that style of footy?
No. Just got to teach him like week to week to, you know, limit them. Just limit it.
Yeah.
Limit the mistakes that you can limit. Like, don't throw the fucking cutout ball when it's, you know, 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Don't try and fucking look short, play long, play look short. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just little things like that where he can control.
Yep.
You know, like, and all the other things that, you know, dropping balls in tackles and that, you don't do that. Mm. He doesn't do anything like that. It's just him chancing his arm. He wants to fucking play. He's seeing things that we don't fucking ever see.
Yeah.
He's getting the opportunities all the time. He's seen a lot. Just pin it back a little bit.
Yep.
That's it. That's all you can say to a kid like that, because you can't say pin it back like a heap. No, 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 no. Do you, mate. Just percentage plays, right?
What are you saying to the kids at the Raiders now? Looks like Fogarty's going to miss some time. Oh, I think he's torn his biceps. Fogarty,
yeah. Yeah,
it'll be sucks. KO Weeks most likely that will come
in
there. He's not a game managing seven. So that
no. I think is he going to come in there for sure?
Oh, I don't know what the other option would be for him.
Surely there's someone else.
I don't think there is, mate, because that was the it was KO Weeks and him. Strange.
Can the Strange kid play? The Strange kid. Can Strange play seven?
Yeah, I think so. But also he looks a bit like Munster, right? Like where he's a little bit more on ball, plays his best work when he's playing ad lib.
Sorry, Ricky Stewart knows what's best for the team. He knows what a good halfback is, so that's why he's a head coach, and he'll pick the right one, whether it be fucking Weeks or you throw Strange in there and just get him more hands on the ball, Stranger, because he's getting the ball in really weird sort of positions most of the time. Imagine if he plays seven, he can play both sides of the ruck.
He did okay in the second half,
He could do it. He's a young kid. I'm not sure if Ricky goes, you're playing halfback. He goes, he gives a fuck. I'm playing.
Yeah.
I'll play football. So I'm a young kid. I'll do what I want. 18 years old. Nothing's going to phase that kid. You just need a six there that can defend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Weeks is that good a defender.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what their options are like, because they're going to require him. All right, mate. The Bulldogs, 36, defeat the Knights. We've been saving it for this one. They get revenge from last year's hidings. You could see it coming through the form lines though, right? I thought the Bulldogs have probably been more impressive than the Knights, even though they didn't represent that on the ladder. The Knights look like they were sort of just hanging on in games and late change. Cogger plays New South Wales Cup. Gamble comes in. There seems to be there's a lot of indecision around the Knights at the moment.
You've got to get it right, man.
They've got it. Like we talked about, the Roosters, similar. The Knights, they're just so much indecision around the way they're playing at the moment.
I spoke to some people at the Bulldogs, you know, and they were confident in this game.
Yeah.
They're like, it's going to be – they expected this sort of scoreline Knights need to get their shit together. You know, we were critical on their spine last year and look what happened. Ponga's out. They look fucking awful.
So who does who do you think will replace Ponga? Do you reckon Will I'm Price? Sure. Do you reckon we're going to see Will Price now?
Someone like that. Will Price. But it's hard. Oi, when those halves, just say we looked at – you looked at Hastings and all that. Like, they were going nowhere near the line. That was just like – that. It's so easy to defend those guys. When there's no Ponga out the back, and if you're petrified of the line going nowhere near it, you are not you're not engaging any markers, any middles, A, B, or C. You're just coming in, dummy, and just giving the ball to the middles. It's so easy to defend. Like, they were so one-dimensional. As soon as Ponga goes off, they're fucked. And he's in a moon boot. He could be out for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, but what about this, mate? So I'll throw another thing at you. So you lose Patola in the first set.
Fucking first
set.
He
goes off. You on the bench. You've got Taff, Bailey, Hayward. and
fucking Sam Hughes.
And that forward pack for the Knights doesn't
– Saifidi.
How don't they roll your middle at the Bulldogs, respectfully?
Because they fucking go hard, our boys. Curtis Moran, they go hard. Bailey Hayward got to play just massive minutes.
I'm just as disappointed if I'm a Knights fan in the Haas, which is understandable because they're not doing their jobs either. Yeah. No one at the Knights is doing their job. No. The forwards aren't doing their job. Good on fucking Bailey Hayward in making 40 tackles. Reed Marnie playing above their weight. Josh Curran has been arguably one of the buys of the season already. He's been fucking so
Salmon's
good
like 95 kilo. He'll probably have a crack. He might be fucking 100.
He'd be 95.
Yeah, got kicks. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Sam Hughes is a young, like, 21-year-old kid. He's not.
What's the Knights forward pack doing? Yeah. They should be dominating that forward pack. Not dominating, but they should be doing better.
Yeah, shouldn't be you shouldn't be getting dominated like that. But our boys, man, are having a crack. Man. Yeah, man. I love seeing that shit. And a little bit of fucking payback too.
Yeah, fuck
remember that game, man. Like, don't think that's not embedded in our. That's fucking the worst defeat in the history of the club. 66-0.
Ciro said they didn't speak about it throughout the week.
I told you that they won't speak about it, but it's fucking here.
Yeah, they knew.
They knew because most of those guys in between before the game going, this is what happened fucking last year. Yep. Most of the players who played in that game would have been saying that sort of shit, right?
Well, he said there was 12 players that didn't even play in
that
game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It would have been just the kicks and all those, even though kicks didn't play, the Birdos, all those sort of blokes would have been going, fuck. Yep. Would have been in their head. Wouldn't have been said anything,
feels
but it would have been in their head.
When you're able to reply like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and to play, we beat them in fucking pretty good fashion.
Yeah.
A pretty good fashion. Very comfortable.
You could see it coming right from the start that they were up for it. Critter, we talked about Curran by the year. Critter, you can see the impact that he's having.
Yeah.
It's infectious, the energy. And you know what? Even though he's on the right, it's that left side who got their swag back. Bronson Sherry, another guy who's been outstanding in his three games. But kicks in particular, Matty Burton and Fox look happy
back,
and they got their swag back.
Got their swag back. We're playing smart, man. We're not that massive team. We're not like a Broncos, a Penrith, who's going to just go bash through the middle. We've got to play football. We've got to get at your edges. And that's what we're doing. We're going shift, get into the edges, play that, get back to the middle, get that complete high rates, defend our asses off, work for each other. Fucking that's it.
Mm.
Play like that. And that's the sort of football the boys are playing. I couldn't be prouder of those guys. They deserved it because they've been working fucking hard for this.
Mm.
You know, you look at the South game, fuck, that sucked. Look at the Melbourne game, oh, that sucked. You know what I mean? Like, we could be sitting here on 10 points.
It's good to see teams like the Bulldogs, Tigers, Dragons, all trying to change their culture, all doing a great job. They've been down the bottom for a while.
It sucks,
they've been
mate.
Kicked. The members and fans have been turning on, but they're showing their members and fans that there's a different squad and a different mentality.
And the amount of belief that will bring, right? Because Newcastle are a good side.
Mm.
They just need to figure their shit out, man. You can't – we gamble at 5-8 and fucking Hastings at half. Come on, man. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard year, especially with our boy fucking KP out.
Mm.
He's the heart and soul of that team.
I think it could be a silver lining for one thing. So obviously if KP's able to come back and play any part this season, just say it doesn't look good, but just say he misses 4 to 6 weeks and he comes back, we get a look at this Will Price.
Do you think that's something to do with, like, just say when your hip's fucked and you're sort of like putting pressure on your leg and, like, it's just a little bit out?
It'd be hard to completely rule that out as not being a factor.
You know what I mean? Like, everything's connected, right? Yeah. Like, and you're fucking limping on everything and the alignment's out and then you fucking bang, your foot goes and it's like – give the kid a rest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe a 1 week rest because that hip pointer, I've had one of those, mate. That. That's what I'm saying. But off a hip pointer, you can miss 1 week and be 100% that next week if you can miss 1 week.
But he's done ligament damage.
That's
in
what
his
I'm
foot.
Saying. But he's done with his foot now.
So he's missing a fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying because that could be coincided with.
Oh, so you said they should have rested him last week. Okay,
all this shit would have been. Yeah, that you know, you're not risking it. You're not risking the hit on that, or you're out of alignment and then your foot goes and all that sort of shit. Everything's in balance, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm blaming that, but I'm like, if I had a chance to rest him, I would have rested him this week.
Have you got a couple more minutes just to quickly go on the Sharks player?
Yeah, I thought we just would have been fuck them. I didn't know we had fuck all games left.
So. Yeah, we're ready to go. So the Cowboys, we were critical of them, but let's get to the positivity of the Sharks, 42-6.
Yeah. They still making the eight?
We talked about them. They're in. They're in, yeah. I've got that. I've lost 250. Beauty.
It's all right.
They've got back to complementary footy that worked so well for them in 2022. The backs, outside backs, Jesse Ramien. He runs as hard as he does on the first carry as he does on the 20th. He would not look out of blue in a different type of blue jersey.
I said that a year ago. I said I could put him in any in the blue side and he would not let anybody down when Turbo and Latrell were out that year.
Yep.
I could have easily put him in that, but obviously they went the other way. They're good, man, the Sharks. They're probably nearly the most complete team in the comp at the moment.
I think they're the best balanced.
Yeah, most, you know, like the back rows outside, really well.
Outside of the top level teams. Yeah. You've got Brisbane, Penrith and Storm. I think when you look across the board, the reason I had them so far down is that
I think they're neck and neck with the Storm.
I think, no, in critical positions, remember when I had a look at that?
Yeah.
They don't have, in my opinion, outside of Nico, a 9 or a 10 out of 10 player, but they've just got sevens across the board.
Yeah, all sevens.
They're all sevens or eights.
Milton is just tackling Britton Nicola, everything. Nico, fucking
Jesse
hell.
Ramien. Even Talo,
man. Like, Talo's God going. Damn. Talakai. The middles, you know what I mean? The big boy. Who's the big guy off the bench?
Hazelton.
He starts. Like, imagine, but that try showed what North Queensland's defence is like. That's in the middle of the field. Someone comes off a cross and he can bounce to the other side of your ruck and score. Why are two markers going the same way, bro? What are you doing?
Yep.
Unacceptable. How the hell did he get to your foreman? Mm. Foreman, which is Nanai, and Nanai just gets caught there.
Mm.
Not coming up or anything. He had to run in. He just ran to the space.
Yeah.
Very bad defense. Very, very bad defense. It's in the first 15 minutes.
Everyone starts looking around and going, fuck,
what
we're
the
not
fuck
in
is happening? Yeah, where was our
this.
Middles? Why are we stacking that side? Like, is this a simple cross? And he just went, try. I was like, wow, they're going to get fucking pumped here if that's their attitude.
We were talking about Nico Hines getting points because he's, you know, when the Sharks win, because they've got so many balanced players across the board that people have been critical of him getting points. I thought he was excellent last night. Yeah. And what he's done is
– defense was great.
He's been in the lab, mate.
Yeah.
He's worked hard on his defense. He's chopping, not only defending well as a unit now on those edges, but some of the one-on-one tackles he made were crucial. And he's not the flashy Dally M 2022 medal winner that he was 2 years ago. He's kicking the corners. He's on ball. He's controlling the game. He knows he's got big forwards. He knows he's got strong outside backs. He's controlling the game, mate, and you don't associate that with Nico because you think 2 years ago when they were playing shift to shift to shift to shift and they were tearing people apart and you're like, this is highlight Nico? He's playing a different style of footy.
He's playing dangerous. When he set those tries up, when he's going down that left short side, dummy, bang, and then Trindle, like they just look great.
They do.
Trindle looks really good.
Yeah, he does.
Scored a couple of tries, but he looks dangerous every time. If Nico's got one side, he's got the other side. Yep. Like you've got to account for both now, and that's dangerous because not many teams have that.
Yeah,
and they will both have a crack at you. They've both got good back rolls. They've got their front rolls. They're going at it. They're not scared of anyone.
No.
They're not scared of anyone.
And I think with the style of footy that Nico's playing now, it might look super pretty. I mean, 42-6 is mad. But when it comes to finals, playing this type of footy is going to serve him better because that's the hump that they need to get over. Yeah. They need to win finals footy. And I think Nico's setting himself up for a big final season.
We spoke about North Queensland. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Cowboys, Eels, Roosters and Manly really need to show me a good solid month of footy. Yeah,
give us a month of football, and then we can put you sort back. Of see where you're at when if you can compete. Even Manly,
Manly.
You say Manly.
I said Manly. Yeah.
They're the teams because they're the teams that should be. They're a top eight team, maybe top four team.
Talented roster.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, mate.
All right.
That was reviewing the games. We'll see you on Thursday for the preview. No. Oh, no, actually, sorry. Apologies. Because we've got Anzac days, we're going to be filming on Wednesday.
Ah, sweet. All right. See you Wednesday.
Thursday morning.
Thursday morning?
I thought you said you moved it to Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday night, but Thursday morning.
Oh, it's still dropping Thursday morning.
Get the audio up, I will.
Oh, gotcha.
The video definitely.
All right, so Luke, you just said we're filming Wednesday afternoon, so nothing changing for you guys, but it'll be up first thing Thursday morning, so you've got the games on Thursday.
All right, sweet. See you guys.